From the wildwoods of Vancouver Island, welcome to the Soda Pod. Ishidromi here, riding solo, but only for a few minutes. And thank you for joining us wherever and wherever you are listening. It's a bonus episode. Yep, we are introducing a new podcast on the Soda Pod feed, a new segment of the Soda Pod. It's unique because we're bringing on a unique and unbelievably entertaining contributor to the Soda Pod team. That's right, your boy, our friend, Spoked Z. So for this episode here, because he will be taking over the Tuesday slot on the Soda Pod feed, so don't worry, if you're already subscribed, you'll be able to get Spoke Z's content here on the Soda Pod, talking all things NHL prospects and very much keying in and zoning in on the Minnesota Wild pipeline prospects and also the Iowa Wild, as they're going to be a super competitive team this year. So this bonus episode is going to comprise of, well, some of the highlights of Spoke Z as he joined us on a few Soda Pod episodes this last summer. So put together some of my favorite hits of Z, which will roll out in this bonus episode, this preview of what's to come on Tuesdays here on the Soda Pod. Before we get into that, though, just a quick reminder to hit us up on Twitter and Facebook at the Soda Pod. You can leave a text or voicemail at 612-324-1684. And if you haven't subscribed yet, you can subscribe on all podcast apps. The Hockey Podcast Network is powered by DraftKings, the leader of daily fantasy sports. Use promo code THPN upon sign up for a bonus. And if you're a regular user, plug that promo code in for a weekly deal. All right, on the other side, first clip of Z talking about, well, how he became a fan of the Minnesota Wild on the first ever appearance on the Soda Pod of Z. I believe it was episode 156 of the Soda Pod. I asked Z, you know, to introduce himself, talk a little bit about what he does, you know, within the hockey Twitter universe. And, well, like I said, how he became a fan of the Minnesota Wild.
Just living the dream, you know. That game was exactly what we could have been hoping for, to set off a 7-game series of complete anarchy. So I'm feeling good after last night's disappointing game from Boston. So ready to roll.
Absolutely. And before we just dive into the game, I just want to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself to those who don't know who you are. Obviously making noise on Twitter, which is where we first connected, also through our friends of the Hockey Podcast Network who cover the Boston Bruins as well. Just talk a little bit about what you do and also your fandom for the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, so obviously how we got connected through Wild Twitter, which is where I've been having way more fun lately. But the Wild have been my number two team forever. And people have called me nuts before, like 2 years ago, because everyone says they're the most boring team in hockey, which I never agreed with, but that's fine. And they're just so fun to watch now. In the past, just watching the team, some of the young guys come up, it's been really fun as I've taking more interest in younger players and prospects and kind of watching rebuilding teams grow. And fortunately the Wild didn't have like the crazy rebuild that some teams do, but it's been fun. And I have had a lot more fun on Wild Twitter, like I said, the Bruins Twitter, because Bruins Twitter is a cesspool. So glad to be here and talk about the Wild and hopefully not too much about the Bruins.
I just want to say just quickly, like sometimes covering a team or being a fan of a team that doesn't go through a full rebuild is a good thing. And I can say that from experience. The Wild and Billy G are doing a damn good job with their retool. But anyway, sorry to cut you off, Hoppy.
Oh, no, you're good. And it's just refreshing to hear someone actually defend the Wild from being a boring team. Because I'll be honest. So you can see I have zero self-respect. I grew up a Penguins fan before there was a Wild team here. And so Wild have been, by default, my number two team as well. And I actually lean towards they've been kind of boring for a while. So I want to hear from you, I guess. Like, what's the defense as to them? Obviously not this year. They're very fun. But let's hear why they haven't been boring historically, because that'll be refreshing for a lot of our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, again, the way I kind of enjoy watching the Wild, it's not exactly the same as I guess everyone else. I mean, I guess everyone sees like they never have the Gaborik after he left, where point of game, exciting stuff like that. But I mean, Jonas Brodin's been my favorite player forever since he came
in. He's amazing.
So yeah, he's awesome, and no one knows about him. But I mean, half the reason I started watching the Wild was when I really got into hockey a while ago, it was me finding teams with like really big fan bases, and the games are awesome, and the arena atmosphere. I mean, Minnesota is incredible. So those playoff series against the Blackhawks never really went that well. There were a few games that I really enjoyed. But I mean, Bugard was awesome, just watching him pound people, and recipes, obviously. But yeah. I don't know. It's been mostly for the atmosphere, I guess. And for the most part, they've been a okay or good team since I've really taken a hold. But I don't know. It's I guess it's more the atmosphere and just like the kind of hockey culture in Minnesota that really drew me in. And I mean, the reason I really started liking the Wild was Brian Ralston, who's really fun. So that's kind of how it started. And I don't know, I guess it's a little different. Some people, again, it's like the no star players, I know, is what kind of drives people nuts. But I mean, it's changed now. But again, yeah. Jonas Rodin's been my guy for years. So
no, that's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And I thought you were going to say you were a fan because of the Man Bear Pig logo. So
yeah, that's the other reason, obviously.
Have you been out to Minnesota for a game or like for any of the culture at all?
No. So this, I was planning. So I guess it would have been at the beginning of last year, I guess, before COVID hit. I was planning on getting out there last summer. So I wanted to go to the Beauty League because it's just, it looks like an absolute tie, but just, man, just elite men's league idiots running around and just look
go
so,
team Bick.
So much fun. Incredible. But then obviously COVID threw a wrench in that, but I want to get out there. I'm debating seeing if I could somehow make it to a playoff game, but that'd be pretty short notice. But I haven't actually been able to get out there, which has been a bummer, but hopefully soon, because I need to real bad. I've heard some.
He's a sick fuck. You know, that could have happened.
I have heard some of the most outrageous rumors about Lou Lamoriello that like are like, I'm being told some of these things by people that are like, no, like they're real in the know, and they're like, no, that's real. Like he thought he had a cryptid phone line to Matrix, and he thought people were hacking the phone, so he had a. They told me that his line was cryptid and that people couldn't hack his phone to like hear conversations that were going on. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
The amount of, okay, what's the over under on cell phones that Lamoriello has broken in his time working in management? Just because of that, just because of that.
Chucks it from the rooftop.
You know, like a little buzz. Burners. He hears like a little buzz burners. or like someone's vocals going out, and he's like, oh my God, he's like, someone's listening. Just chucks it to the wall.
Dude, it's straight up out of The Wire, where they're like using the like times to like find meeting places to talk to different GMs.
They're finding picnic benches to sit, and they're like looking the other way like this with papers, and they're having it. That's how he makes all his trades.
Hey, he's still getting it done in his 80s. You know, stick taps to Lamoriello.
That guy fucking rules, dude. He's crazy. He's a psychopath.
Yeah,
but it works, I guess.
Next clip here, if you want to go back and check out our three-part Soda Pod episode, I believe it was 181, where we did a live soda stream of the National Hockey League entry draft. This next clip is Z's reaction to Montreal's pick. I mean, I don't really need to introduce it much more. It is unbelievable, unlike the pick.
And he didn't win a Super Bowl.
In the NFC Championship.
Oh my God.
What do you got, Spokes? What happened?
Oh, no. No way. They took him?
What?
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 What the fuck is happening?
What?
What's going on?
What?
My hotel doesn't have a TV.
Burger Man does look rough. Yikes.
Well, they said they weren't going to draft him.
Wait, did they take the kid that... With the sexting?
Oh, what the fuck? Wow.
What?
Logan Mayo. Oh,
no. What?
They said.
Wow.
Oh, no. My
fuck. Oh, that's Bergevin
gonna Bergevin.
Yo, Dylan, they took the Mayu kid, Montreal.
Oh, no.
Holy shit.
Wow.
That's insane.
Hey,
I mean, if we're going to be dicks, in the back of my head, I thought that maybe Chicago would take him.
Yo, bad luck, Montreal. What the fuck?
Holy shit.
He took himself out of the draft. They said
he fucking undeclared from the draft.
Yeah.
And he went the first round. What the fuck is happening? Like,
that's crazy. That's absolutely insane. Leave it to fucking Bergevin to just make some fucking noise, eh, boys? Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
Well, and after the kid last year, yeah, after Mitchell Miller last year.
Like, yuck indeed, even, Goose.
This is, you know, this is just as bad.
Yeah,
except
man.
It's a first-round pick instead of a third.
Jesus. Like,
so no, no, it'll be worse, though, because they won't.
Sean. French standards are lower than Swedish standards, apparently. That's terrible, but fuck it.
Great work.
It's warranted. Wow. No,
damn, I don't know, Lloyd. The French are assholes.
What's his deal? I'm out of the loop on this. Oh,
Plunkett. Yeah. So here's the thing. What's crazy is that's a fucking horrible pick, too. without him being
wait,
a piece of shit human being.
Spoke, are we about to get you to shit on a minor?
Yeah, fuck this guy. Yeah, let's fucking go.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
All right, everyone quiet for Z.
This guy, mid-second round pick, maybe if he wasn't a fucking dickhead. And he's a piece of shit human being. And Bergevin, that fucking loser, literally was like, oh, he took a snapshot of him banging some chick. Yeah, we need that guy. Yeah, we need him. Fuck him. Holy shit. Well, that's such a bad pick.
Yeah, well, it was not only that, right? Because he like shared it to the entire team. Like,
Mr. Walk right down me. Fuck you.
And the fact that they were like, yeah, he clearly just like doesn't actually give a shit. He doesn't actually care that he fucked up that bad. He knows he's going to get in trouble. And he hasn't said sorry at all until it went public. And then he said sorry. What
a
fucking
message.
Loser. In a text. What a fucking loser, dude. Man. What a piece of shit. What a bad... First of all, again, like, beyond, like...
Beyond
there's
the
optics of him saying, hey, please don't draft me.
Strictly on ice perspective.
He's a mid to late second, early third round pick.
His statement the other day was ridiculous.
Isha, where is he at in your print guide? Because that would have had to go to print before all of this really came to
I bet you he's
light,
about 50.
Yeah, this
is
printed
I bet,
in July.
I bet he's, July? I bet he's 50.
Then maybe.
58. 58. I'm going to go 58.
I'll take the under, but just barely.
I'm going to go about 48.
That's
a little
I'm
higher,
thinking
but not
like
much.
53-ish.
Hey, to make that
45.
Fuck.
Oh, to make that
wow.
To make that pick even worse. Bergevin was with Chicago when all that Brad Aldridge.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, no, this makes way more sense now.
Yeah, no. Okay. So, like, my really dark Stan Bowman joke. I had the wrong guy.
Wrong GM.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
I'm fucking shocked, boys, to be perfectly honest. This is insane.
He said, don't pick me.
He literally took himself out of the draft.
But this is just horrible PR. Like, what are the Habs thinking? Like, honestly, like, after this amazing story of going to the Stanley Cup Finals, you fuck it all up with this pick for a guy that, like Spoke said, is not even worth picking in the first fucking round.
It was a fucking reach anyway.
Wow, man.
Talk about
the complete opposite from Cole.
Decimating your hockey
career. He's such a fucking average hockey player. Like,
now the real question is, guys, how can the Blackhawks leave us with something worse than that?
I can't emphasize enough. Like,
I'm not drinking enough. God.
Drafting this kid ever at all is insane. But to reach for him in the first round where no actual sane human being had him ranked without this scandal shit. And then you're going to throw him to the Wolves, the Montreal media, the morning after. Less than a week after he said, hey, don't fucking draft me.
So here's my pivot on that. And as a member of the media, this infuriates me the most. Are media members going to actually ask him hard questions, or are they going to
in Montreal? Yes,
in Montreal, 100%.
Good.
Well, Here's the thing. Like, this isn't a like usually in those situations, like, oh, the media coward, like those cowardice fucking wild. It's usually like when there's rumors.
Yeah, yeah.
Like nothing confirmed. This is
confirmed. They can go to town. Yeah, they can go to town on this.
This motherfucker put out a personal statement like days ago saying, hey, just don't fucking draft me.
Yeah.
Please don't do that because I don't know what I'll do. I do want to play in the NHL. I feel like in a year, everyone's going to forget or pretend to forget. So let's just hold that off.
Oh, yeah. It was 100% like, a PR move.
The Canadians like, we're reaching. Fucking crazy.
Leave it to the
reverse psychology on their asses.
If you have to put out
an average hockey player,
if you have to put out a paragraph defense of your pick within 5 minutes of making the pick, that's a sign you shouldn't have made the pick.
Exactly, Dan. 100%.
Week 3 of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for Week 4 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any game this week to receive $150 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state or province, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit on $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Last but not least, I had Z on the podcast filling in for Hoppy when he was in Hawaii, hitting up all the breweries and the beaches over there. It was a great hit. Z ran down a few prospects that I threw to him, and I first asked him about Kuznetsov. The Minnesota Wild, they stockpiled their center position when Billy Guerin first got his hands on the draft. And this was a guy who the entire NHL and a lot of prospect writers, a lot of scouts were really high on and said that the Minnesota Wild did a great job picking this guy. And that if Rossi doesn't turn out, this guy, he's going to have a chance down the road to try to play in the top six as a centerman in the National Hockey League and with the Minnesota Wild. So since he's just started to play in the KHL, and I've been seeing highlights of his first game and practices, you know, all around Twitter, Z. Let's talk a little bit about him and, you know, what's your scouting report on him since you keep an eye out on all these guys?
It's becoming more and more clear that he's going to be one of the guys from that draft that ends up being a pretty solid steal, even though, I mean, he was high in the second round, but it's becoming evident that, like, he probably could have been a first round pick slash should have been a first round. Like, I mean, he is electric. Like, I remember last year they made the pick and it was like, oh, that could be good. Another center, they're stockpiling. Like you said, right now they have him playing on the wing. Which, I mean, it's fine. He's young, and he is more than facilitating play from the wing right now as an 18-year-old kid in the KHL, which is not easy to do. You know, last year he was very young, and when I say limited minutes, it was there were a lot of nights he was playing 2 or 3 minutes, which is, like, how it kind of works over there. But, my God, this kid, his skating is – I would – pay $20 to just go watch him have a bag skate. Like, he flies up and down the ice. He's effective. He plays on either the first or second unit now for Scott on both the power play and the penalty kill. He generates chances off the rush. Like, I mean, he goes from being behind his own net, and the next thing you know, he's getting a shot on net, like, in 3 seconds. Like, he's just – the skill is crazy. He's bold. And, by the way, he, like, literally tore everything in his shoulder, 8 months ago. And he appears to be fine. the other day in their scrimmage or whatever you want to call it, exhibition game. He had a nice 4-point day, a goal and three assists. And every time he hit the ice, you noticed him. Like, he was very noticeable. Even on the PK, he was generating scoring chances shorthanded. We'll see if he develops as a center or a wing. Either way, it's a pretty good kid to have in your system. And his contract's up in the KHL at the end of this year. And he's already made it very, very clear that he wants to come over as soon as that contract ends. So
amazing.
In Minnesota, in terms of Russian prospects, that sounds pretty good to everybody involved, including especially fans.
Yeah, man. And if he's down to come to Iowa and know that, hey, I'm going to be up and down, that's okay. But actually what benefits the Wild is this contract not perfect? Because, hey, in a year, not next year, but the year after, the Wild are going to be strapped right at the cap for a 3 to 4 year stretch, and they're going to need ELCs like you cannot believe. And if this guy mm-hmm. can play, even in limited minutes, if he can play, they're going to bring him in. They're going to give him every shot to succeed.
Yeah, and I would get, like, I cannot emphasize enough, just, I mean, this is any fan base, but, like, I would not, like, people shouldn't be watching these games in the KHL and then next season hits, like, perfect, he's our number two center in Minnesota right away. Like, he's going to need to come over and spend some time on North American ice and get used to the game. I mean, there's still some parts of the game that are raw. But I mean, when I say electric, like, I mean, it's unbelievable. And like the skating is just, he is so goddamn fast. his skating form is like near perfect, but he's a really exciting prospect. Again, whether that's from the wing or at center, it doesn't, you know, I'm not worried about it. Because again, he's generating offense and he's playmaking from the wing right now as an 18-year-old in Russia in the KHL. Their first game was today. He had an assist.
Yeah,
and he probably could have had three other ones and they just couldn't score. But every time he hits the ice, he's noticeable. And that's pretty much exactly what you want in any of your prospects. So that's just one of Minnesota's good amount of guys who are pretty exciting to watch and anticipate and get ready for the future.
Well, before we do a deep dive on two other ones, I just want to quickly touch on Alexander Hovanov too. I've heard he's going to come back to North America this year. A great QMJHL product. I mean, if you're talented and you're a little, you got a little bit of edge to your game, you can really dominate in that league. And he did, you know, in his first season there, as a 17-year-old, he put up pretty much, point per game, 9 goals. Second year, 74 points in 64 games. And then in 2019-2020, 99 points, just under 100 in the queue with 32 goals in 51 games. So the guy's talented. He's got a little bit of an edge to his game. Very, very raw. And last year went and played in Kazan Akbars and didn't put up any points. Only played, you know, limited minutes, limited time with the big boys up there, and then spent some time, I believe, in the junior or the Division II. But I've heard he's going to come back over, and he's open to playing in Iowa. He's used to the North American ice, you know, his time in the CHL. I know that everyone's saying temporary expectations on him being like a bona fide top six in the National Hockey League, but do you think that this guy can turn out and play at the highest level and at least be a serviceable, maybe even depth scoring piece?
So he's kind of become, over the course of the past, like, what, year and a half, between guys like Kuznetdinov, like Kaprizov, like Rossi, like Boldy, it's kind of like become a little bit of the forgotten prospect. But, you know, last season he went over to Russia. There's a lot of talk about he had some pretty significant attitude issues while he was over here. But then Torchetti loves him. And he was saying he's just young and immature or whatever. But he went over, obviously, in the KHL. Didn't really go that well for him. But, I mean, it wasn't really – I mean, it's a tough league to play in for that kid. But then he goes down to the VHL in whatever it's Bars Kazan.
Yeah.
Or is it – yeah, that's the VHL team. And I watched a good amount of his games over there. And he seemingly got better just about every game. He put up a lot of points for them. The tools are there. He's very raw, very, very raw. And you, like you said, he's a very funny edge to his game. Like, he can just snap.
I know, dude. In Moncton, like, he would just go nuts. Like, I was like, he would like call out the whole bench, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Sit down. This is the Quebec League. Like,
there are a few times his wires would cross, like, at the other team and his own team and his coaches. So, like, I think last year was a big year for him. I mean, he looked good over there, man. And, like, that league with no fans and the way it is over there, it's kind of just like a meat grinder league. It's like their AHL or whatever. But, I mean, he played well, and he was one of their better players, and it was a decent team. And it clearly, now that he's saying he's, because he, I mean, he better be okay with going to Iowa, because that's where he's going. Like, he's not going to be Minnesota. I think between last year and this year, this will kind of define what his ceiling will be in the NHL, because there are a lot of tools that are there, but he's still unbelievably raw. But Iowa's, that's going to be a good team. It's going to be a really good year for him and a really good opportunity to show what he can do at the NHL level. And again, he's a center, so, and he's a Russian center. So I don't, top six feels like a stretch for me. But I mean, if he becomes a pretty good playmaking third line center, that's, I mean, every team needs that. So we'll see. He's kind of become that forgotten man in terms of prospects, but from what I saw this year in the VHL or last year, whatever, there's a lot to like. He's got a lot of tools, and he clearly has offensive instinct, as you saw in the Q and over in Russia. So we'll see what he does in Iowa. But this is going to be a big, big, big year for him. And I'm pretty excited to see how he does back in North America.
Yeah, me too. All right, we'll get into two more. You picked a name prior to recording this. I said, you know, what's a prospect that you want to talk about? And you threw a name to me. So let's dive into it. Who do you got for us?
Brandon Duhaime. Very curious to see what happens with him at a camp. That this is the kind of kid. He's just an animal. Like, he's just an alpha when he's on the ice. And it's like, you know, we talk like people want to bring up Matt Boldy, and it's like, well, if there's no spot in like the top nine or top six, then like, is Boldy better off staying in the AHL for a full year, or a little, you know, where he's going to get good ice time? Brandon Duhaime can play just about anywhere in your lineup. It's a big boy. He can shoot. He's got a shot on him, but he also is just tough. Like, I mean, he is tough. And when his wires cross, he is scary. But you want to talk about a guy that has the chance to come out of camp, and he's like, I'm trying to think of how to describe it, but he's just like, the way his attitude is, the way he carries himself, the way he plays every game. It's like, I imagine if he doesn't make the Wild doesn't make Minnesota's team out of camp, it's going to be one of those cuts where like, fuck, I like really don't feel good about setting this kid back, because I just want him here. But I mean, he went from, I think he was at Providence College before Iowa, and he was a stud there. He pretty much doubled his points every year he went on. First year in Iowa went well. I think he had 20 or so points in 60 games, which for a kid coming out of college, it's pretty good. He put up 71 penalty minutes because he just loves to fight.
Attaboy.
Bastard. But I mean, you want to talk about a kid with a really good shot, decent skill, good size, and he's just an alpha on the ice. So if he could be a serviceable bottom six guy, I wouldn't be surprised to see him make it out of camp. And he's a good skater too, so he's a kid that I really enjoy watching when I'm watching Iowa. He doesn't really go a shift without you seeing him be like, oh, there's Duhaime. There he goes. Oh, and look, oh, he's running someone through the glass. That's a penalty. Oh, look at that. He's fighting. Oh, look, he's got a shot. Oh, look, he went far down. Like, he's just everywhere. 200-foot player. So I like the kid a lot. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he made the team out of camp, especially like you talked about before. They're going to need guys on ELCs to be – like significant parts of their team moving forward. So I don't think his contract's up for another. Let's see when his contract goes through. Yeah, it's another 2 years.
Oh, then that's perfect. And he comes in as a depth piece too, who plays his role well. It's not like they're going to have to overpay him if they want to keep him around, and they can probably still get him on the cheap, you know, respectable contract. Sure. But on the cheap nonetheless. All right. We'd be remiss and we'd be doing, we would be doing a dirty to Hoppy if we didn't talk about his boy Kalen Addison. Now I know this one's an interesting one because when Ryan Suter was bought out, a space was opened. You know, I know the defense is not the same as it was the last few years, which in fairness to the Wild, they had one of the best defense cores in the National Hockey League. So spaces opened up, but the Wild seem to have addressed them this summer to a certain degree with some older veteran players in the Goligoskis, in the Jordy Bens, whatnot. Do you think there's a spot for Kalen Addison on this team, or do you think he's really gonna have to work and compete in camp to get us? Because I don't know. At first, I thought that they were not creating a position for him by any means, but letting him kind of slide into that position. Where now I'm really thinking like he's gonna have to fight for this out of camp.
I mean, he's gonna have to displace some really good hockey players if he wants to make the team and be playing. I just don't see him assuming full health. Like, I don't really see him cracking like the top seven right now. I mean, if you want to put him in over like Jordy Ben, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But like, it feels like Jordy Ben was there in case of emergency break glass guy. And I mean, like right now they've got like 6 to 7 out and out NHL players on that back end. So let's say he does make the team. He makes that third pair, 'cause he's not touching the top four. Do you want to give him like 10 minutes a night, 12 minutes a night, or do you want to let him go run PP1 in Iowa, play 20 whatever minutes, and continue to grow that way? Yeah, he looked pretty good when he was in Minnesota for the most part this past season, but that was, you know,
six games.
Six games in very weird season. I thought it looked like they were gonna like, yep, he's gonna be our third pair guy this year, and then it's like, nope, Kulikov signed, Merrill signed, Jordy Ben signed. So right now, I mean, all things being equal, like, I would rather have him playing over 20 minutes a night in Iowa, you know, first power play unit, than like hanging out in the press box or being their six. Like, I think that's probably better for him, to be honest. Then like, there's no real need to force him into the lineup right now anyways. I know that's gonna hurt Hoppy that I said that, but
that's okay.
The way it's looking right now. But again, I think he's got a long career ahead of him. He's still young, so it's not like this was a make or break year for him. But I mean, I think this could be like a full AHL season in Iowa could be a lot better for him than, again, like being a six or a seven here in Minnesota on a team that's like really trying to push to go into the playoffs, to go deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And like I said, you know, when asking you this question, he'll be a guy who is one of the first guys they call up, you know, right, when the injury bug hits, for sure. And man, we've been talking about prospects here and saying like, you know, this next year, the year after, like the amount of players that might come through Iowa, maybe even for a short stint before being called up to the Wild, and that would be best case scenario. But the Iowa Wild are going to be damn good. They're going to be one of the best AHL franchises on paper, roster-wise, for the next 2 to 3 years with how many Wild prospects are, you know, coming through the pipeline. And again, assuming, you know, a lot of them actually go through that development and don't go right to the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, right now they're stacked. Like, for an AHL roster, it's
comical. And they're young. They're stacked and they're young, man. Like,
right. I think they're
under 30, oldest, it's insane.
I think their oldest forward, I want to say, is Turgeon. I think he's 25.
Jeez. That's nuts.
And I think they have one 30-year-old.
I'll bring it up.
I think they may, well, actually, including Hammond, I think they have two. So I think they have two 30 guys that are 30, but like, they have some players on that roster.
Yeah, man, it's a young team, which is awesome. And like, the veterans, you know, they're still, they're not the old boys in the room. You know, they're still under 30, so you can still relate. And right. Imagine that locker room, man, with all these young studs who are just getting better and better every day, and then like, you know, established veterans of the AHL who are still got a shot maybe to play a game or two in the show or make some money in Europe or whatever. So everyone's just still jacked. Like, no one's just kind of thrown in the towel and is just there to you know, because it's my job, it's my 9 to 5, you know, I've been playing hockey. I'm not going to be an NHL star, but I'm making good money in the minors. So I'm going to go through the ropes. I feel like this Iowa group will actually be fun to watch, like go out of your way and watch a little bit because of how buzzing they're just going to be as a group.
And last year they're like pretty fun to watch. Last year, it was like, it felt like every game there was almost 10 goals and like 8 fights. Like it was just like, and no fans. Like it was just like full, it was like full mutant mode. And like it was actually pretty entertaining.
Letting out all their anger and frustrations on the ice, man. Something NHL players just didn't do.
And they had Cody McLeod, who was just running around beating the wheels off people. Like it was very funny. But I mean, 2 years ago, that COVID shortened year, I mean, they were one of the best teams in the AHL.
Yep. I remember that.
I see no reason why this year they're going to take any kind of significant step back. I mean, they got that, and the team is good.
Yeah.
So they're going to be really fun. Again, like you said, and they're young. They have like the young kids that you want to watch. So we'll
see
who makes the team out of camp.
Signed Jerry Mayhew puck here when he was ripping it up with the boys in Iowa.
What a beauty. What a beauty that guy is.
That's it, folks. That's the show. Look, every Tuesday moving forward, you're going to have a prospect-heavy, National Hockey League-wide prospect-heavy, and of course, a podcast covering the Iowa Wild and Minnesota's pipeline. All that every Tuesday with your new host, Spoked Z. If you guys are unfamiliar with Spoked Z, I mean, that's what this podcast was for. Just a little bit of a taste. Go follow him on Twitter. You want any news on Wild prospects, Boston prospects, and again, NHL wide. He's the guy you have to follow. He's on it, and he's going to be on it here, the Soda Pod, every Tuesday. So really excited to bring him on part of our team. Thank you to those tuning in on Google, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Folks, the best thing you do for us this week, any week, is to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Go listen through our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com, if you're jonesing for more hockey content. And on your app, please download the episode before you listen, as it just helps our business. Don't forget to follow myself at VI Sports Talk. You can follow the new host at Spoked Z. And you can follow the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod on Twitter and Facebook. Signing off, I'm Isha Drillme alongside Spoked Z. I'm just giving him the reins, the keys to the castles. This is his day now. Tuesdays on the Soda Pod. This has been the Soda Pod presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Don't fear, just drink some beer and stay wild.